Hello, my name is Khadija Kamara. I'm a proud Sierra Leonean woman, and I also have a company called Centra Salon. We make African print fashion products in Sierra Leone, made by Sierra Leoneans.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today I have a treat for you, Miss Khadijah. If I told you I've been in contact with her for at least 2 years trying to bring her on as an influencer, I'd be off by some months. But when you see a star, you see one and you keep, trying to bring them on. What I did not know, though, why she might have been saying no or not right now or just silent, because she was building up Central Salon, her fashion line. And I saw her at Vicky Ramone's beautiful Sierra Leone investment conference in Washington, D.C. And we're just talking, her and I, me and Khadijah. And I'm looking at her dress and I'm saying, oh, wow, you make men's clothes too, because I can't put no dress on. I ain't that American. And she was like, yeah. And then she introduced me to somebody, which made me have to tap into her right now on Instagram. And I'm like, we've been talking. And I give her my phone. So she has a heart for giving, I know. We love good, nice people, genuine people who will introduce you and not whisper in other people's ear while you're trying to, shoot your shot at bringing on other influencers. But yeah, Miss Khadijah, welcome to Diversified Game. You know you in for a real ride today.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for reconnecting, right? I'm glad that we both met up there. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, God don't make any mistakes. So he's gonna put us where we need to be, and nobody can stop that. But let's get into Central Salon, because your designs, this is like authentic. I already know it's made in Africa, not in China. So how did you start this? And let's just say how and when you started, and then I'm gonna go and get more, prognosis and get all up in your business.
Yeah, so I was feeling the urge to start a business, and I would talk to my friends and my family about it, and I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to start a business. And I'm not sure what that business is, but I'm gonna listen to God. I'm going to tap in and really allow myself to explore. So it turned out that I started feeling like I should start a fashion brand. And I was like, okay, I don't know what product I would want to start, but let's see. And then I was sitting in Washington Square Park in New York City in Manhattan, just people watching because it's fun to see like the fashion there and just observe. And I kept seeing people passing with these bags, these tote bags, different shapes, different sizes of tote bags, different people, different backgrounds, men, women, older people, younger people. And it just clicked. I was like, I'm going to make tote bags. And I'm going to make tote bags that are strong, that are multi-purpose, that are fashionable, and most importantly, that have African print. Because in the global marketplace, African print is not really at the center stage, and it needs to be, especially considering that it's so beautiful.
Okay. So, but it's one thing to just come up with to say, I want to make it. Did you know that you wanted to do it in Salon? Or did you say, you could have thought, oh, I could make it in China and maybe it'll be cheaper. But like, even the process to do something while you're in the States and then making it in Africa, tell us, about that journey.
Yeah, so there was absolutely no other thought than we need to make this in Africa. There aren't enough made in Africa products. And honestly, the textile and fashion industry has the potential to create thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, potentially even millions of jobs on the continent. So there was absolutely no consideration of China or other external production countries, right, that this could be outsourced to. I actually designed a prototype here in New York, and I connected with a bag designer in Sierra Leone who helped me actualize the product. And then we adjusted it. We were able to use all material sourced in Sierra Leone. And then after securing those first products, we actually took it the next step and trained and employed young women in Sierra Leone to make these products. Why? You know, we could have gone the easy route of just hiring tailor men, right? We know men are a large part of the sewists, the tailors, as we call them, in Sierra Leone. But I really wanted to empower women. A lot of the times women are going to, you know, go back to the families and empower themselves and their families and their spouses and things like that. And men do the same as well. But the fact that there was such a disparity between men and women in this industry was a cause of concern for me. And I really wanted to improve this disparity and create job opportunities for women. Because once you know how to sew, once you know how to design these products, you have that skill for life. You know, you're able to feed yourself and your family and your children for life. So that's part of what drives me. And that's what excites me every morning, because I'm like, I'm creating jobs for my people, for women like me, you know?
Yeah, can you tell us, you know, around how many jobs you've been able to create for those women?
Yes, right now we have 15 employees, but our goal by Q4 of 2025 is to create 1,000 jobs in Sierra Leone.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, I go into the deep because there's entrepreneurs that are listening, and I call it an African business podcast. But people say, okay, you create jobs in Sierra Leone. And I'm talking really for, you know, the new Sierra Leone citizens who have come, because people say, oh, wow, the labor is really cheap. And all throughout Africa and some parts of Asia, labor can be really cheap. But I always try to teach and tell people, but don't be a colonizer. Don't give people the bare minimum. You know, you can afford to give them a little more. And we know there's people all throughout Africa trying to pay people $3, $5, and thinking they're really doing something and acting like, you know, Daddy Warbucks, and that they should be worshipped at the thing. So are those jobs, are they kind of maybe part-time jobs for maybe students? Are they jobs that they are able to pay their bills and, you know, have a living?
Yes, definitely. So those are full-time jobs where they're able to support themselves, pay for their food, their family. And definitely, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I think there's a lot of exploitation of labor on the continent and other regions of the world, but especially on the continent, because of the difference between the dollar and, for example, the leone, right? And considering how much we sell our products for, we definitely emphasize paying our staff more than what's typical. Yeah, because they deserve it, right? Like they're creating a global product, so they should also be paid competitively.
Well, and there's the other piece where, you know, you're paying them a living wage. And we hear that in America all the time, you know, $15 isn't even enough. I've been on campaigns about $15 and said, this is not enough in a place like Seattle, San Francisco, New York for a minimum wage. But then you'll have people, and tell me if you've come across this yet in business, where they're like, you're paying people too much, you know, and I've heard that where people are like, you're overpaying, and you're like, no, we're not overpaying. We're paying what we think we should be paying. Have you encountered any of that from, you know, those experts in the field say, you know, you could actually reduce this and you could actually make more?
You know, I actually haven't encountered that, but I think it's because of the kind of people that I take advice from or ask for advice, that we are like-minded people of wanting to build Sierra Leone, build the continent of Africa, and understand like, hey, maybe you actually should be paid more. You should be paying more. I spoke with someone last week who was giving me advice, and he was like, well, you know, hey, maybe we could, you know, increase the price of the products because of the cost and pay more. So those are the kinds of people, like-minded people that I surround myself with.
And it's good. It's good to be around good people who think like you. Now, some folks, you know, in business, it's very rare that an entrepreneur comes on and says, hey, I had an idea and everybody just supported me, friends and family. Your energy might be different. Maybe everyone was like, you know what? We think we can do it and we'll work with you. But, you know, for building a business, even in another state, talking about another country, what was, the support level like when you said you're going to start this and start putting your money towards, this business?
Yeah, so there's different levels of support. There's people who are like, yeah, that's an idea. What other ideas do you have? There's people who will bring in other ideas, like, hey, maybe we should make backpacks, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. Out of a place of love, of course, but also that kind of energy can also create a spirit of like confusion, right? So it can help in terms of future guidance, but also isn't really helpful in the present, right? Like I had a guy come up to me and he's like, hey, if you made like wallets like this, then I would buy your products. But I can't buy this. This is, things like that. Like they're like, hey, I would support you. I like what you're doing, but I don't like it enough to buy what you have unless you buy what I you make what I want, which is fine, right? There's different types of customer segments, but that's a type of support that I've received. I've received people who are like, they might follow you, but they're not very active, right? They're not cheerleading for you. They might even be preying on your downfall. Like I've had those kind of experiences as well. A lot of negative energy. There's people who even within your business that may be trying to sabotage you, especially, doing work on the continent is not easy, right? Doing work anywhere. A business, having a business anywhere isn't easy. And especially when it's an export-based business, there's people who are like, well, why do you make it in Sierra Leone? Right? And that's a fundamental difference. That's like hard to explain if that person genuinely doesn't understand the importance of making made in Africa products. There's people who are like, I've had friends who are like, if you made this in a nude color, a more toned down color, then I would buy it, right? So if we look at this product, it is more bold. But again, that's not my customer segment. So that's something that I had to learn because if you listen to all different kinds of inputs, it can really take you off track. So that's a level of support. There's people who are early adopters, right? As soon as you say it, they're like one of the first ones to buy your products. And I really appreciate those people. Those people are the backbones. But there's also people who they'll say they're gonna buy your product, even though you're not forcing them to, and they still don't buy. So, and those are people close to you. It's not even customers, So I think there definitely is a challenge in terms of garnering support. And for me, even from Sierra Leoneans, I know, actually, I have a lot of Sierra Leonean people that I know, friends that I know that have never bought my products, and we talk about supporting Black businesses, but again, it might not be what they're interested in. But there's been different levels of support, I would say.
Preach. It's so funny because it's just like birthdays. Like, and I say this for, Sierra Leone men more than the women, because the men, there's a issue of begging from the men, from men, not all, but from too many on my WhatsApp. But when you tell me it's your birthday and my birthday was last week, what do you want? Hey, it's my birthday. Okay, it's your birthday. So what? And I get this even from some of y'all down south too. You tell me hit you on the Cash App for your birthday. You never sent me anything on my birthday. I'm 42 years old. I can't remember the last birthday gift outside of a trip that, we would go as a family. But, it's like the reciprocity. I have product and books and everything for sale. And people, oh, you want to buy my book? I've been writing books for over a decade. Have you bought any of them? Have you bought one? And so it's one of those things. And I totally get what you're saying. And we're not saying people go run out and buy our stuff. Just don't ask us to support you when she's already done the work. And when you create a product to have so many SKUs, it costs money. So you're telling someone, hey, you should have it in this color, or if it's t-shirts, not that you sell shirts, but it should be extra, extra, extra large. No, maybe you should lose maybe 1X weight, and so you can fit the shirt. But I've sold everything to women's underwear, so it's like I totally get it, and it frustrates me, and that's why I vent it off, and I don't You guys know I don't care what you think. What did Dion say? I care about your opinion of me. I don't care. I'm going to be me, and that's okay. And so your product that you were wearing was lovely. You know, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to hassle you about the men's product because I can hassle you like every week. You're going to tell me, hey, Kellen, I got something. I want to look and have outfits just like His Honorable Excellency President Bill. I want to say his style, I love it because it's simple, it's clean, and I dig it. So don't ask me what I want. Say, hey, this is what the president wore, and boom, from the hat down. I haven't seen an outfit that he wore that I have not liked. I just don't wear the traditional Western suits. I wear traditional African suits if I have a choice. And thank God I have a choice. But can you tell the people, you do cell phones, you have the purses. What lane, where do you see this going? Give them the full vision as much as you can.
Yeah, and I actually want to add something else, like in terms of support that I just thought of. Support isn't just financial, right? So, like, support can also be putting somebody in the right rooms, talking about them, connecting them to the right people that they need. I think that's something else that I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, especially Black entrepreneurs, face because maybe you don't have the right network, or maybe you're not in the right city that you can actually access the people that you need to access. So if we can help others, bring others in the room, when we enter the room, if we can even mention a name, sometimes you just need a name. You just need a contact. So I'm grateful because I live in New York City currently, and I've been able to be exposed to a lot of people, but that's something else I would say in terms of support. But in terms
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead.
and then in terms of Elaine, I actually see Central Saloon being a lifestyle brand, and a lifestyle brand that expands to different products, right? So we're expanding to clothing. We started off with the accessories and moving on to other things that our customers will use throughout their life, not just today, but within the next 5 years and 50 years. So that's where I see it. But in the short term, I really want Central Saloon to vertically integrate, meaning that we own our production line and we're not dependent on any type of imports. So we know that really every single stitch, every piece of fabric was made in Sierra Leone by Sierra Leoneans. So that's really the dream, that it's, made by Africans, that it's centralized, that it serves our customers, but really being made in Africa by Africans and people of African descent.
Yeah, and that's I love the full vision because I'm gonna say you are still young. I say that because I am getting older and only getting better. But I love that. And this woman right here that I have is educated, y'all. Not just from a university in Florida, I won't mention them, but NYU. So, and I won't mention no beef with them, but NYU, where I think everybody that I knew would have been honored if we could have went to NYU, only if some of us had the GPA. We graduate with a 1.9 GPA and a Fast 40. NYU doesn't really have a football program or something you can get into. But I thank God for Ottawa University, but and Grambling. But can you tell us with your health background, and I'm going to say science background as well, how do you put all of this together in your vision? Because I'm sure people are like, why don't you just go work, for some research company, or just go do something that your education, you go have a great school. There's lanes you can get into that others can't because of your education. Like, how does the science and the health and this all come together? Or is it just part of the, the steps, and you got a whole master plan?
That's a really great question. Coming up to this point, it's funny when you look back at it and you see, okay, I see how the dots are connecting. I see how I got here. But I realized that I have a strategic mind, and that's really what I love doing. I love to write proposals. I know how to implement proposals, and I did that on the health side. As you know, for example, I developed community waste infrastructure in Kruboy slums, Freetown, Sierra Leone. I've done a menstrual pad dispersal program in Sierra Leone. So designing and distributing, right? Like really learning how to implement those concepts and design is a skill that I was able to transfer to consulting. So I actually consulted in Sierra Leone for the Sierra Leone Economic Development Project. So there were startups of all kinds of variations. Like we had a startup that they actually make bricks from plastic, right? There was a startup that make briquettes. Briquettes is like a coal alternative that they make from agri waste, so like coconut shells and things like that. And I was able to help them with my public health background, with my innate talents and passion for strategy, and help them improve their operating model. I've judged for Entrepreneurship World Cup. I've judged for Orange Social Venture Fund. I've judged for so many competitions, Gen U. I've been a mentor to different companies that at the end of the day, it boils to the same thing as public health. We need to be community-based, right? We need to have partnership with those in our local community and understand the factors that all of the factors surrounding people in that community. Regardless of what business you do, you have to understand the people of where you're producing it and your customers, right? We focus a lot on the customers, but what are the needs of your employees that can enable them to produce better, right? So how can we, like, what's the data? How big is the problem? That's something that we see. For example, I led a department, a part of the health department in Palm Beach County, for a daycare COVID-19 cases. And we had to know how many cases did we have every day. It's the same thing when you look at any kind of business. How big is this problem, right? What's the customer segment? So those are transferable skills that through consulting for SLEDDEP, I was really able to hone in on. And that I already had the background from that project and other consultations that enabled me to know, hey, I know how to do this. I need to make sure I have community partnerships. I need to know how to problem solve. I have to have somebody on the ground that can work for me. And there has to be accountability. How are we going to monitor? We have to have a budget, right? We have to know the per unit cost. You know, so things like that, they're all transferable. So at the end of the day, a lot of the different businesses boil down to the same thing. So that's really how I was able to do this, to be quite honest with you, using my strategy background and making sure I'm partnering with the community, making my business sustainable, looking at the numbers, looking at the data. Those in any business, those are things that have to be looked at.
I love it. I love it because there's so many people in your position, whether they have the education, whether they have, even the experience, they can hear the story. Or for those you guys want to watch, kick those numbers up, man. I'll take it. But I know what the listeners are the majority at this moment. People feel almost like alien, and and because we consult and coach and mentor people, they're like, nah, my dad is telling me I can't do both because I'm a medical doctor. I can't do both because I'm, the first lawyer in the family. And it's like, you can do whatever you want to do, but you have to get out of trying to appease people. Stop looking for people's approval. And you will never be canceled if you stop looking for their approval. But in an African household, it's difficult to show your creative side sometimes. You guys go ask DeVito. He was already wealthy, right? But and to say you want to rap, he's talked about it, but you guys can go see those interviews. But there's so many people that are everyday people who have great stories and they can't express that. And they're worried about, oh, my grandmother's still alive. I can't tell that story. And it's like, man, you guys are living in a box. So I love that you broke it down like that. The only thing that I have an issue with Central Saloon Fashion is it has a YouTube channel and it has not been getting enough love. And we're gonna make a dedication today because I see you on TikTok. Don't worry about the views. Repurpose the content so you don't have to upload it, more than once. But keep that going. Stay consistent with that because people are looking for African fashion so much so we can go on Etsy right now and even possibly, I don't know this to be true yet, but it's right around the corner, if not Temu, which I'm addicted to, y'all. Temu is about to have some African clothing coming straight from you know where. And we need to be able to catch your clothing, whether, wherever we find it. So I want you to keep doing it because, influencing is just one part of your marketing strategy. But I see it. And I saw some views. I mean, I saw 841 views on your YouTube, on the shorts. She was just doing the shorts, y'all. She ain't got time. She has a real life. Can you? I want to break down though, because some people, I came from the conference and I was told, and not in a bad way at all, but I was like, these are the privileged Sierra Leoneans. These are the socialite Sierra Leoneans. And there are some people in Sierra Leone who will tell you, well, that person has money and that's why they can do this and they can do that. Can you speak to all of those people, because maybe I am around the socialites, but that's my life. I don't care, Sierra Leone or wherever. That's my life because I want it to be. I want to be around, where progress and power is. But talk about that because I don't believe that just because you don't have money now, you can't have it tomorrow. And I believe we all can win, but there's little steps. You've taken those steps to win, no matter who your parents may be or may not be. And one of your ladies that you're hiring right now might be the next you are going to her own realm. She might own, a bank or a hospital. But can you talk about that? Because that division we don't need. And I truly think that there's hope for everybody.
My first project that I ever did, as I mentioned, was a menstrual pad project to empower women, right? Because menstruation was causing a lot of problems for women. And I realized that, at the time I was in college, I realized that I could do it. I think sometimes we just need to know that you can do it. Like we limit ourselves so much, and it's like there's the world at our fingertips, right? We have access to the internet, and not everybody has access to the internet, but we have access to resources around us. And at the time in college, I surely didn't have money, but I had will. And I knew, I don't know how, but I'm gonna help Sierra Leone because I had gone back to Sierra Leone for the first time as an adult, my sophomore year of college. And I was like, I don't know how, but I'm going to do something. And that led me to look out for opportunities. So I think first is the positioning of the heart. What, where am I? What, where am I and what can I do? Right? Like I know I want to do, right? And then you can open your eyes to more opportunities around you. But if we keep blaming the government, we keep blaming maybe the private sector that's already there. We have to reflect on ourselves. And this is a problem I have with a lot of Sierra Leoneans because it's like we blame this person or that person, but what are we doing as an individual to improve the development of a country? So for me, if somebody's complaining about Sierra Leone, it's like, well, what are you doing to improve the country? And as you said, there's elitist, but elitist is by category. Right? Like there's elitists that don't actually care about the development of the country. There's elitists who prefer European products or US products over Sierra Leonean products any day. And that's elitist and also people who are not elitist that are more socially, economically disadvantaged. But I believe that all of us are capable of making change in our communities. We just have to look around us and position ourselves correctly in terms of our hearts and even if we just do our little part, it makes a difference because it adds up. And I feel like a lot of times we're waiting for the right opportunity. Sometimes it's right in front of us. Sometimes, once you've decided, hey, I'm going to commit to improving, for example, for me, it was flooding in Kurube. It's something that I was really passionate about. I live in New York. I went to Sierra Leone last summer to clean the gutter. Me, I don't live in Kurube. But that's what I did. Every day I went there and cleaned gutter. I hired people in that community to clean the gutter. And a lot of people would say, oh, you're privileged, right? People would never expect that I would go to a slum community and be cleaning the gutter, you know? So I encourage people to find out what is your gutter. What are you willing to go above and beyond and dig deep in and really get dirty? Like, I feel like a lot of people are afraid to get dirty and do the hard work, but it's like, you know, if you just open your eyes and you're committed to something, opportunities oftentimes can fall, or you can actually search for them. Also, it's good to just put yourself out there and tell people, like, hey, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in this. I knew last year that I wanted to do this project in Quebec before I even got funding. You know, before I even got funding, I already designed the project. But I was like, you know what? If I find the opportunity, I'm gonna apply. I applied and was able to have impact in that community. So I feel like a lot of times we're waiting for something, but really, we're just stopping ourselves.
Preach, talk that talk, because people talk themselves out of things all the time, waiting for perfection. And when you say that you got funding, was it funding from America? Was it funding from Sierra Leone? Because a lot of people, in that conference were talking about, Vicky was talking about, a bid on this contract, that contract. And I'm like, where are these contracts at? Just, or do the masses know? And if they don't know, then can you point them to that direction? Or if you need funding, who is doing this funding? We heard, Alex Rivera talk about Japan was funding, what I believe is a $42 million, business in Sierra Leone. And you're like, whoa, what does Japan have to do with Sierra Leone? But you grab what you can grab. So was your funding from America or Sierra Leone?
That specific funding was from America. So it was a grant that I saw. Again, I've won different grants, mostly from America. I know Sierra Leone has a few grants out there, but in terms of contracts, from my experience, a lot of it is about who you know, because you won't even know what's out there until you know what's out there. So it's a lot about, again, just talking about your business and getting in the right rooms. But that could sound elitist to some, but for me, it's not like I don't really have like a network like that. You know, I really had to just keep fighting, you know, day after day, climbing, 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 scratching at the door. Where can I go? Who can I talk to? Listen to my business idea. You know, this is my business. I do this. Minister of Trade who came to the conference, I told him, I said, you know, my name is Khadija. I manufacture African print products in Sierra Leone. You know, and I think a lot of people would be scared, but why? What are they going to say? The worst thing they can say is no. And he was actually very interested in the product and said, you know, that when I come to Sierra Leone, that he would like to see the factory. You know, so hopefully following up with that happens. But at the end of the day, it's about visibility, right? If you're staying at your house, how are people going to know about your business, right? Or if you're not promoting it online, which I also am, you know, learning how to do, how will people learn about your business? So yes, it's elitist. The contracts, it can be a bit of a small circle, but at the same time, people are willing to listen. You know, what are they gonna do? Like,
No, it's good. And the same thing with government contracting here, in the States. It's a small circle. Everyone's not going to win. It's one of the frustrating things when you go to these meetings for even local government, and people are like, well, I've been trying for so long, but that you can hear in their language that they don't speak the language of government contracting or have the patience. And sometimes you need to have the capital. Sometimes for that same project, you need to wait 30, 60, 90 days to get paid. And it's meant to be like that because they want people at a certain level. Not afraid to talk elitist. Are we supposed to be po-mouthing our whole life or any of our lives? No, we can't do. Now, I know it might be a little premature, but I have to ask you, have you started writing the book?
I like that. I like that. That's great. You know, part of this is all part of my story. You know, getting a platform to speak about my business, you being willing to give me access to your audience. This is what I call support, and this is writing my story, right? 5 years from now, they're gonna look and they're gonna look for information about me, and it's gonna be on your podcast, Kellen, you know? And that's a gold mine right there. So this is part of my story. I wouldn't be surprised if I wrote a book or had a documentary, because I envisioned that, to be honest. I know that I'm going to the moon with this. I'm
In
definitely going
Jesus
to the
Christ's name, yes.
moon.
So you're gonna, so you might surpass the moon. You're looking at Mars, Jupiter, and you know, maybe different galaxies. I'll tell you this: out of over 700 interviews just on this platform alone, I've done thousands of interviews, but on this platform alone, I've interviewed probably over 155, 56 African entrepreneurs. I've interviewed over 25 in salon. You know, I'm open for everybody who's doing something. Let's talk about it as long as it's legal. Let's talk. I've had video vixens even on, right? I'm not like they've come to the hotel when we were in salon, and some of them met the family. And it's like, you know, I want to get the story because to me, video vixen is an influencer. They call themselves video vixens. Doesn't necessarily mean the same thing here, you guys, because you guys are thinking Suki Hana and Sexy Red. But you know, some of them can get down. But you have to give people a platform to just show who they are, because if you can do one thing great, I can show you how you can do some other things great, and you don't have to stay in that complacency no matter what you do. Try to be as non-judgment as possible. But and there's some great things in Sierra Leone media wise and just everywhere, just great things. Like Sierra Leone is a gem, and I want everyone to know that because the future is so bright. And let's not have someone else, you know, tell the story, because there's just some things. There's things I say in Sierra Leone about Sierra Leone. I'll tell you off air. I tell people and they're like, really? You like that? I'm like, yeah. I said it's better than some other countries that I'm not going to say on this air right now either, because I like to have friends when I go to countries, and you know, I don't want to compete and compare, you know, because it's so easy to do. But I think Sierra Leone has great customer service outside of the men begging, and I'm not talking about amputees. I'm talking about regular, healthy men. And it's not just me, because those of you who are even begging your so-called girlfriends or lady friends just because they're in the States, I got a problem with that. Men shouldn't be begging like that. And I got a solution for you, and it's go to the library. And I've told many people that not one person has done it in salon that I've had to deal with. Go to the library, go read, get your game up, get your skills up. You don't, you know, so that's my pet peeve, because I see greatness in people. But they got to see it too. Can you tell the people a community give back? You were talking about the menstruation pads, which, you know, as a man, we can only listen and learn. And we're like, if men had a cycle, that wouldn't even be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem because we would have found some type of solution, or we would just, you know, the hygiene, maybe we just say it's Bloody Monday or something. I don't know. But can you talk about, you know, a community give back? That you're doing, or one that you would like to do in the future.
Everything that I do, that I've done, has to benefit the community in salon. Like, it has to. So currently, I'm focusing on creating more jobs and, you know, creating made in salon fashion. But my marketing strategy in Sierra Leone, that I'm happy for other people to copy, to be honest, is to give to communities. It's something that I've always done. Without publicity. So one of the things that I want to do is actually aid in the beach cleanups. So we have beautiful beaches in Salon, but unfortunately they're adulterated by trash. So partnering with local community stakeholders, and that's part of my marketing strategy, right? Like improving Salon instead of paying to media conglomerates. So that's how I plan on marketing and doing different things. Like I would love to build schools and enable schools. I've thought of even doing a school lunch program. I know that's part of the Ministry of Education agenda, right? And actually having accountability for that and making sure that that happens through Central Salon. I have so many ideas for community development because the ethos of Central Salon isn't for profit. It profit is inevitable, but it's really to see Salone transform. You know, we can create 1,000 jobs in Sierra Leone. The impact is crazy. It would be crazy on the economy. So that's something I think, or I know people need to realize when you're buying from Central Salone, you're developing Salone.
I
So.
love that. I love it. I love it. When you said that, it reminded me of David Senge's book. I just read it, Radical Inclusion. And when you think about the pregnant girls, and of course, pregnant girls should be in school. They should be in school more than anybody globally. And you think about menstruation pads. Of course, we need that. We need that. And the school lunches, everybody should eat. And I'm talking about eating as a 200-pound man who's on his way to try to lose weight in case Mayweather comes back and I go fight for the last time in the ring. I didn't say when, y'all. I'm gonna let wait. I want Mayweather to stay undefeated, but the school lunches is necesito. And if you think about all the food we waste here in America and how some of us, not you, but how some of us look and can stretch out a jersey sometimes, look like a Dudwa for those of you in Cameroon. Shout out to a Dudwa, the comedian who's, but it's just, yeah, that's these things should be necessary. And I think there's solutions and there's enough brain power to get us there. Let the people know, because I know you're going to start doing YouTube again, not just for what I was talking to you privately about, but for Central Salone. She's going to bring it back, y'all. She won't leave you out hanging. Let the people know where they can find you. In any last words, anything I might have missed, just give them the game.
Yes. First, you can order from us on our website, centralsalone.com. So that's central and then SALONE.com. When you order from us, you're developing Salone. You can find us on TikTok and YouTube at Central Salone. You can find us on Instagram at Central Salone Fashion. We also have a Facebook at Central Salone. So yeah, please look at our content, order from us, and just engage with us. We'd love to know what you think of our products, what you love about Sierra Leone. Are you excited to come to Sierra Leone? We're an honest brand. Like I said, we're going to the moon. So we would love to have you on the journey.
I got you. I got you. And I think maybe even the last question is, how often to run this business do you have to go back, or do you choose to go back?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be going soon for a couple of months, just so that we can really launch our clothing line. As it grows, I assume I'll have to be there more, which is great. I love Salon. Right now, I'm more bi-coastal, so I go 2 to 3 months, like twice a year. So half the year here, half the year there, and it's great, right? I come here to network, to spread brand visibility, and I go home to build capacity and empower my workers and fellow Sierra Leoneans. So I'm sure I'll be there more as time progresses.
And if you guys want to know how somebody can live in New York and then take months off to go to Sierra Leone, then you're gonna have to go bug her and write that book. Because we're not gonna give you the game overload. You gotta see that New York rent. I don't know if it's the West Side or the East Side. I don't know. But again, bug her in her DMs to. Can you tell us more? Can you write the book sooner than later? It doesn't have to be the full chap, the full, story, but give us to now so I can find out how me living in America can go to Africa and leave my place. I'm going to leave that there. You guys, make sure you like and subscribe. But more importantly than that, share this game with somebody. It will change their life. Y'all, be blessed.
Hi everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is going to cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand or 10,000 Kenyan shillings? Or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip, starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.